in the world of sports. She's got next. Next. Here's Jordan Robinson.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jordan Robinson, and this will be your one-stop shop for all things women's sports. And this time of the year is the best time to be a woman sports fan because we are in the midst of soccer season and NWSL, hockey, and the PWHL playoffs are starting, tennis grand slams are cooking, and the WNBA preseason is happening, and the regular season kicks off May 16th. So today, we're going to talk basketball with WNBA player Aaliyah Edwards from the Washington Mystics. And we have a NY-based WNBA expert in Christina Williams to preview the New York Liberty, the reigning WNBA champions. But first, let's get to our Women's Sports Week recap. The Pro Women's Hockey League announced an expansion team in Seattle, making it city number 8 for the league. Seattle now becomes the first U.S. city to have a WNBA team, the Seattle Storm, an NWSL team, the Seattle Reign FC, and now this PWHL Seattle team. It's reported that they will play in Climate Pledge Arena, the same venue used by the Storm and the NHL's Seattle Kraken. Shout out to the Emerald City. The University of South Carolina unveiled a statue honoring head women's basketball coach Dawn Staley, not only for winning 3 championships, but also for her unwavering dedication to her community and future generations on and off the court. The statue shows Staley atop a ladder, cutting down the championship net, a pose she knows very well. Tennis world number 1, Aryna Sabalenka won her 3rd career Madrid Open title with a victory over number 4 seeded Coco Gauff in last week's WTA 1000 final. This marks Sabalenka's 20th career WTA Tour singles title, and it's her 3rd title win this season alone. She's just the 2nd player to win Miami and Madrid in the same season, joining Serena Williams in 2013. The newest addition to the NWSL, Denver, has a new investor, Michaela Schifrin, the most decorated alpine skier in history and a proud Coloradan. She joined the investment group. The expansion team is already breaking records after becoming the fastest team to hit 10,000 season ticket deposits in league history. They will begin play in 2026. In women's rugby news, Team USA took on Canada in Kansas City last week, setting a new attendance record for a USA women's rugby match with 10,518 fans. The 9th-ranked USA, led by superstar Ilana Meyer, lost to 2nd-ranked Canada 26-14, but gained a bunch of new fans in the meantime. All right, we have more coming up with WNBA player Aaliyah Edwards after the break. This is She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
From Odyssey Sports, it's She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
Today's guest is Aaliyah Edwards, a 2nd-year forward for the WNBA's Washington Mystics and a former UConn women's basketball standout, and she's got next. Aaliyah, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for having me.
Oh, so nice to meet you. I'm so excited to chat with you. Let's start first. The WNBA regular season is almost here, tipping off May 16th. How are you going into your sophomore season compared to this time last year?
I think I'm going into my sophomore season with a little bit more experience and a lot more confidence. This is going to be a great year for me. I had a great off season, so I'm just going to build off of that and just super excited for this new era of Mystics basketball and what we can bring to DC.
That's exactly what I want to get into next, this new era. So preview this Mystics team for us, because last season, it's not always how you start, but it's how you finish. You guys ended up in the playoff conversations towards the end. You bring back solid pieces, but you also have some new faces, some great draft picks. So what are the vibes since training camp, going into preseason? What are the vibes in the locker room right now?
The vibes are immaculate in the locker room. I think we have a new group, a young group as well, but most importantly, a hungry group. And I've liked what I've seen so far in training camp, going into our preseason games. I feel like we're just really relentless in everything that we do, whether that's in the weight room, whether that's taking accountability in film, whether that's applying everything that we're doing on the court into the game. I think that just our mindset is headstrong, and I'm just super excited for this group. And plus, I got some more young ones with me, so our core isn't the age gap isn't too far off.
You're not the rookie anymore. Are you so excited about that?
Yeah. I am excited. I'm excited. I'm excited for sure. As I said, sophomore season, no one can call me rookie no more, even though some do, like Slim and Kira for sure. But no, I'm just super excited to take any role that Coach Johnson wants me to have with this team. But let it be known that I got some experience under my belt, and I'm ready for more opportunities and more dubs coming this season.
More dubs. I hear it. Yes. Well, you mentioned it. First year head coach Sidney Johnson, now at the helm. What are some things about his coaching style and philosophy so far that you've gravitated towards?
I think one of the things that I've gravitated towards is just him trying to establish an identity off bat, which is super important with a team like ours, with the whole new a change in the organization, as well as a change in the coaching staff. And as young of a team that we are, with a lot of new pieces, it was super important for him to establish that identity. So that's one of the things that really stuck out to me, because, you know, in order to be championship contenders, you have to rely on something. You have to hold yourself to a standard each and every day, each and every practice. And it starts with those points that we emphasize in and out.
What is that identity as you're trying to form it? I know it's early, but what are those points of emphasis that you have as a team going into the season?
Listen, I'm not going to release the whole scout now.
Yeah, but no, you don't have to. It's still a secret.
Just in terms just of like our characteristics, it's, you know, playing with joy, competing at everything that we do. Once we step into the gym, step onto the court, we're there to make not only make ourselves better, but make our teammates better. Accountability is a big piece as well. And overall, I think it's just playing for the next person, playing for your teammate beside you. So I think establishing those kind of pillars, and within those pillars, obviously we can get into the basketball terms, which I am not. That's why I'm an athlete, not a coach. But we can get into those pillars. But it's the understanding that everyone is going to be on this cohesive wave of just wanting to get better, wanting to improve, and wanting to grow this whole season.
Well, you talked about the joy, and it is a joy to not only watch you play, but also this anticipation that the WNBA season is feeling from the new fans, from the viewership and overall excitement. Just talk a little bit about that and how it feels to be in it.
Oh my gosh, it's such a great feeling to be in it, to feel like I have an impact in this new wave of women's basketball and how fast we're escalating. And it's just great for the sport, not only for us in it, but, you know, those who came before us. You know, I really leaned on Candace a lot my rookie season. And, you know, I think the biggest thing as a rookie, you always want to respect your vets and respect those who came in front of you, but also make your own pathways. So that's why I feel like I'm in such a unique position where I know that I am creating impact each and every time I put on that jersey, but I can control what kind of impact I leave behind. And I think that's the beauty of this and beauty of the era of women's basketball right now. I mean, just look at the preseason games. Last season, they weren't even broadcasted, but this season they are. So We'll take the little wins anytime we can.
We'll take it. And Impact, real quick, Mystics fans love you. And aww. I want to talk about one thing specific is the yellow and purple box braids, your iconic signature look. When I saw those box braids glued onto someone's Mystics hat in the stadium, cheering you on, twirl in the ponytail.
Yes.
Like, that is real fandom. How did that feel when you saw that type of impact? Your rookie year.
Oh my goodness. Wow. It was so heartwarming. At first I did a double take. I'm like, wait a second. I don't see anyone else with those color braids. But it was so cool. Just every game, that particular fan came out and he wore this hat with the purple and yellow Bach braids, sewed into the top of it. And every time we score, he stands up and twirls it. And it was just so cool because, you know, going into a new team, a new environment, new city, there's obviously that feeling like, how are people, how are the fans going to accept me? And they accepted me with open arms. And just to see that just reminded me every day, like, this is why I play basketball. This is why I show out. I actually wanted to share another quick story. Like, when I was playing back at UConn, there was another little girl who, her mom was a part of the UConn football staff, and she came to our games, and she actually did her hair, purple and yellow braids, and she's so excited to tell me about it. And to this day, like, I always tap into her, check in on her, because that's the impact where I feel like can make the most difference. That age group, the youth, I am all for it. I was in her position one day, even just wanting a selfie with a professional basketball player, let alone changing my hair. But yeah, I've been in that position. So to give back to the game and give back to those who pour into me, that's my biggest motivation.
That is everything. And that fan, if you are listening, please sell those hats, because I would wear that so quick. I know it's hard to fit over my fro, but I would make it work. It's a good look. I love
me
it.
And him, I actually just met him a couple of weeks ago at Media Day. So that was great as well. But no, me and him have been talking. We're like, we need to get something going now with these hats.
Yes, this is an opportunity here. I love it.
Yes,
I love that so much. Okay, I also want to talk about your involvement in the inaugural season of Unrivaled, which is a full court 3-on-3 league played in the offseason. You killed it. You were spectacular.
Thank you, girl.
Making the finals of the 1-on-1 tournament. I know it was tough, but you did it. How did your involvement boost your confidence going into this season playing in Unrivaled?
I think one of the beauties of playing in Unrivaled is it's 3-on-3, and it's a completely different game than 5-on-5, and different in the way where there's only six people on the court now, so you got to do your work on both ends of the court, both defensively and offensively. And I think within that, I was able to operate, pull some more stuff out of my bag offensively and defensively, just like hone in on some of the technicality stuff. And I think with all of that combined with the 1-on-1 show that I put on for the world, that was weird too. That was weird because I've never played 1-on-1 like in front of an audience like that before. So that was interesting. But yeah, I think just the whole concept of Unrivaled is just super important for a game, because not only young players like myself, but even like vets like Fee and Stewie, they don't have to go overseas and go through the whole stress on the body of the travel, the time difference of just like the 6 to 8 month seasons, where they can just do that in 3 months with Unrivaled. And it put me on great shape for the W season. So shout out to them. But no, it's just a great opportunity. And I'm playing alongside athletes, W athletes that I play in the summer and the season. So to get those extra reps against them, with them, it was just great. And I built so many new relationships and ongoing relationships. And I just loved it.
I loved it for you. And you talked about in front of an audience. It was also all of us watching at home too. Just, can't imagine that 1-on-1 pressure, but you did so great. And you talked about it setting a standard, you know, getting in shape and working on your defense, but how did it also set the standard just from a professional aspect? You were at this this facility that was built for you. You had makeup rooms, you had massage chairs, a weight room. How did that kind of set the standard of like, okay, this is how I want to be treated as a pro wherever I go?
I love how you say that, because it's talking to some of my my teammates and my friends. We were thinking about that, all the resources that were at our hands and that we had access to. It's almost like this is what the normal should be. It's not like we're stepping into this like, oh my gosh, this is an upgrade. It's really what happens within the world. Like, we don't want, you really need to get into it, but NBA, you know, that's what they get every day. So to even be exposed to that and just be humbled, like, wow, this is what we can get to. And we will get to, I'm gonna speak it, manifest it sooner than later. I just think that it was just great. It was refreshing to finally feel like we were valued in that way. Because, you know, on the court, it is what it is. But off the court, we can control a lot of things. And I think they did a great job just making sure that those things were accessible to us. And honestly, it kind of felt like, I've never been, hopefully soon. It kind of felt like an all-star weekend type vibe. Like, you're just there with all the girls you play with, play against. Obviously, we play in the games. But afterwards, like, we're going out to dinner together. We all lived in the same apartment together. All the locker rooms were beside each other. So, you know, we just like chopped it up. And it was just so cool to be in that professional atmosphere, obviously seeing everyone's habits and tendencies, how they prepare for court, how they lift, you know, their family life. So it was just a full immersive experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That is so amazing. I love that for you. I'm also manifesting this All-Star Weekend for you as well.
Thank you, girl.
We're speaking it into existence. I'm with you. Another area that I have to talk to you about is your UConn Huskies won the NCAA Women's Basketball National Championship this past April. Your former teammate, Paige Beckers, earned her first title, then goes number one overall in the draft to the Dallas Wings. You were in Tampa when that confetti dropped on your UConn. What was that feeling like to be able to celebrate that huge win with your alma mater?
Wow, that feeling, I just want to frame it. It's a framed memory for me, because that's the dream. Like, you go to UConn, you get recruited by UConn, you commit, and that is the standard. The standard, obviously, is to win, but the natty is always in the back of your head each and every season. And unfortunately, like, I wasn't able to do that. But being in Tampa and to see my sisters do that, wow. Like, I almost cried. I almost cried. And I was like, wow. It was just a great moment. I honestly, once the final buzzer sounded, like, I wanted to sprint onto the court. But I was like, you know what? I'm an alum now. I got to keep it cute. Can't be too much now. But it was just a great moment for me to celebrate with my sisters. They truly deserve it. It was a long time coming. And yeah, I couldn't be prouder, especially for Paige, like, because, you know, me and Paige came up in the same class. We recruited the same year, spent 4 years together, kind of kicking rocks that I didn't stay an extra year. But, you know, it's a win-win situation. So, yeah, I'm just super proud of her and the whole team.
Well, you witnessed Paige. You had a front row seat to her growth over those years. Like you said, you came in the same class. Now you saw her get drafted just like you did last year. And now you're going to get to play against her in the biggest women's pro league in the world. Like, how have you witnessed that growth, and how excited are you to get to play against her?
Oh, my gosh. I can speak all day about Paige and just how great of a person she is, and how great of a teammate she is as well. You know, you get that 2-for-2 combo with her. Everything is so genuine with her, and she really truly cares about everyone she interacts with. But no, I'm just super proud of, as much of the injuries and everything she's dealt with, she's always just been so graceful in everything that she does day to day. And I was just obviously even more happy that she was able to get a championship, because from the day we were went on a recruiting official visit, the goal that we all made was like, we are going to leave the school with a natty. Like, we're going to find a way. And for her to actually accomplish that, it's just amazing. And I think it's just going to continue over into the pros. It's obviously going to be weird to play against her. Mind you, we play against each other all the time in practice. She called me out during Unrivaled, actually, with the one-on-one, saying that we can't play one-on-one and she would beat me. But that's a lie, because I can pull up some footage from practice.
At least I have the receipts.
So yeah, okay. We can clock it. But no, it's gonna be just fun to play against her. It's just gonna feel like we're back in practice again, checking the ball up and playing one-on-one. Like, it's just gonna be super fun. I'm not gonna see it as like a huge competition. So, but anyways, just super grateful and to have her and to play alongside her. But yeah, we'll see who wins at the end of the day.
We'll see. June 22nd. I know you have that circled on your calendar. That's
absolutely.
And the Mystics play each other for the very first time. Any advice that you pass on to her as she's entering the league, and whether it's here's what you got to do as a rookie or here's what you should expect from travel or schedule? Any advice?
I think most of our conversations are just like about basketball. So I think one of the things that I told her, in terms of her first year is, I feel like she got the basketball thing under locks. It's more like the adulting piece of it, that transition from college to the pros. You're on your own. You have more responsibilities. And I think the biggest piece is like just taking care of your body, whether that be sleep, nutrition, recovery, like all that's done on your own when you're in the league. And as I said, like she's a baller. She is a high IQ. She can do the X's and O's. Not really concerned about the physical, but it's more just that change of like, okay. I have my own apartment now. I gotta pay taxes. I gotta get gas and groceries. Like, all of that stuff is like what we're really like giggling about. But no, I think it should be fine.
Adulting is hard, no matter what adult you are. Like, I'm still struggling. I'm like, why can't I just be a kid still?
Right.
Okay, that is great advice. I'm so happy you passed that on. And before we let you go, I also wanted to ask, I know you are a proud Canadian, and not too many people have a day named after them. May 14th is officially, it's coming up, Aaliyah Edwards Day in Kingston, Ontario. What does that honor mean to you and your hometown to have your own day?
Oh, my goodness. When they were passing like the law for that day, I couldn't even find the words to be like, is this for real? It was so surreal for me, because I first learned about it when they were like in the courts, like, OK, the mayor, Patterson, he was trying to push for the day. And I just couldn't believe it. And then when it actually was official, stamped, handwritten, everything, I was like, wow. And I went back to Kingston and met with Mayor Patterson. And it was just surreal. I was there with my family. It just means the world to me because, as you said, I'm very proud to be Canadian. And also, everything I do here, I do it knowing that I have a whole country supporting me. And I think that is just so wholesome because I've committed so many years to, you know, Canada basketball. I think the first year I wore the jersey was I was 14 years old, and to kind of do like a Uno reverse flip card on me where they're leaning on me, it's just, it means the world. And especially my hometown, Kingston, Ontario, for them to recognize me in that way, it's amazing. Most of my friends from back home don't play basketball. Like, they're doing other things. in different fields, but they are the biggest supporter. They're like, I'm not sure what call that is, but it doesn't look right, and I'm glad you got the and one. it's just so cute how much support I get from my hometown and then just the whole country. I think Canadians are really making their mark here, not only in the States, but in the W as well. And to be a part of that wave for the country and for international ball in general, it's just amazing.
What are some things we can do to celebrate Aaliyah Edwards Day, May 14th? Like, I don't know if we get it off work, but like, what should we do?
Right. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe just go compliment somebody. Somebody you see, something like that. Just do something for somebody. Just to show love, spread mad love. But yeah, I think I'm going to do something back home, but I think it's just a day of just, you know, loving the thing that you do. And what I do is play basketball. So finding the joy of that. My family grounds me. So I guess that's all rooted back to where you came from. And I think that's really what that day is about. Just, you know, celebrating and being prideful for the thing that you do and what you do best.
Amazing. I might just go to a park and just grab a rebound too, just in your honor as well.
That as well, yeah. Put a
Aaliyah
shots.
Edwards, forward for the Washington Mystics. Thank you so much for joining the show. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll preview the New York Liberty with Christina Williams. You're listening to She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
From Odyssey Sports, it's She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
Welcome back to She's Got Next. Now we are joined by WNBA insider Christina Williams of Girls Talk Sports TV and the host of the Women's Basketball Podcast, in case you missed it. Hey, Christina.
Hey, Jordan. How are you?
Doing well. It is always nice to talk to you. And now I called you specifically because I want to talk about the New York Liberty, the reigning WNBA champions. Christina, could they go back to back?
So here's the thing, Jordan. I think that out of all of the teams, I mean, the New York Liberty have the best chances in defending their title when we talk about going back to back. You see how last season that chemistry between the returning players, it really was the factor, the X factor for them defeating the Minnesota Lynx. And so the New York Liberty in the offseason, they made some major, major moves. They lost Courtney Vandersloot and Kayla Thornton, but they gained Natasha Cloud, Brenga Marine Johannes back. Rebecca Gardner will be returning to the team after missing an entire season. And then I expect players like Kennedy Burke and Leonie Fevich to take a major leap for the Liberty this season. Now, it's very disappointing and sad that Benaja Laney Hamilton will possibly be out for the duration of the 2025 season. But this is a team that was built for this test, right? You have Breanna Stewart, arguably one of the best players in the world right now. Jonquel Jones as well. And Sabrina Ionescu, who took a leap last season. And we saw a different version of Sabrina where she is a three-level scorer now. She is better on defense on the perimeter. And so I think that this is a team that's going to continue to build from that momentum from last season. And they're going to be in business in the 2025 season. So, yeah.
Wow. So the answer, yes. I mean, I got excited just listening to that. New York fans should be very excited. While other teams were making a bunch of changes in free agency, New York was like, no, we're going back with the same group and retooled with a Natasha Cloud. When we look at the league, who is the Liberty's biggest competition? Who would be that team that could potentially stop this back-to-back from happening?
Ooh, we've been watching a lot of really good WNBA preseason games, but I see that the preseason rankings, right, they have the Minnesota Lynx being one of the top teams coming back. Nafisa Collier has made it clear that that loss, she's not going to take it lightly. So I expect them to be on some sort of revenge tour coming into 2025. So obviously they're going to be one of the favorites. I love how the Indiana Fever was able to retool in the offseason, from the front office to the coaching staff to the players. They added a lot of great pieces in DeWanna Bonner and Natasha Howard, who know what it takes to win, right? Mm-hmm. You bring in a veteran guard like Sydney Colson, who brings the energy to the team, but can also get a bucket. I mean, in that Aces win against the Liberty in that 2023 championship, she was a plus 17. So wow. You bring in a lot of these veteran players that can help that young core. Obviously, the biggest thing that the Fever had to do in the offseason was re-sign Kelsey Mitchell, right? And so now you have that core group of Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, Kelsey Mitchell, that core. You're building a foundation with those three players, and then you're adding the necessary pieces around in a vet coach like Stephanie White, who has history with that organization. I think that, you know, in the preseason, we saw a lot of great flashes that Caitlin Clark is going to turn it up a notch. She was in the gym. Like, her arms are so
buff. The muscles are there. Yeah.
So we can expect her to take that next step as well. But then you have Asia Wilson, and three-time MVP, went unanimous for the MVP votes in 2024. She's on a different level. And she alluded in the offseason that she has more things in her bag that we have not seen yet. And I didn't think that was possible with a player like Asia Wilson. But I think the Aces will have a lot to say. I mean, you look at what they did last year, and the sentiment was, it was so different last year. Something was off, something was different. That's what Coach Becky Hammon had said. That's what the players had echoed as well. It was something different. And so with the additions and subtractions that they made to their roster, I can see a stronger Aces squad. And then Chelsea Gray, she wasn't healthy last season, but in the preseason, we're seeing flashes of Chelsea Gray where she's looking like her old self, and the team is looking like they're in mid-season form. Right now, we're in the, you know, the last end of the training camp, and teams will start to finalize some of their rosters. The Aces have made some cuts already. But I look at players like Crystal Bradford, who had a very strong Athletes Unlimited campaign season, and she's been removed from the WNBA for quite a while. And so I'm looking forward to seeing if she makes this Aces squad. I think that she can impact the game on both ends of the floor. She brings a lot of good energy. She can play defense. She can get those rebounds. But she can also get a bucket. Some flashes in rookies like Aaliyah Nye and Deja Kelly, who hit that game winner the other night in the preseason game. They are really trying to make a case to make this finalized squad. And then you look at what they did with the blockbuster trade, Kelsey Plum, Jewel Lloyd. Jewel Lloyd knows what it takes to win as well. She's won in Seattle. She's a great leader. She's played with Asia on the Olympic squad. So I'm looking forward to seeing how all of these pieces fit together into Becky Hammon's system.
Man, I know that the regular season is just starting, but I kind of want to fast forward to the finals, especially since we get seven-game series starting this season, because regardless of who is there, could be the Liberty, Minnesota, the Aces, it is going to be so good. But you talked about those rookies. The future is so bright. And I also wanted to talk to you about, because a few months ago, New York announced that they are planning to build an $80 million, 75,000 square foot practice facility for the team in Brooklyn, opening in 2027. Just talk about the increased investment in the WNBA and how that's grown, because like a few seasons, the Liberty were playing what, in White Plains, like in front of small crowds a few seasons ago.
They were in the trenches.
Not anymore. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I think that the turning point in terms of investment that we saw, and I was talking to someone about this the other day, was, for me, I think the turning point when it came to players really prioritizing their free agency moves or taking back their powers when Candace Parker left the Sparks after playing for 13 seasons and she went to Chicago. But then she left Chicago to go to Vegas, and it was like, oh, I've never had a locker before in my career of playing. And they have a practice facility and they're laying out the red carpet. I think that was the moment where players were like, oh, like, we can demand more and get better. And so now that's the standard around the league, is like, we are the top 1% athletes. We need the best of the best when it comes to facilities, when it comes to rest and recovery, because we can't be our best if we don't have those investments. And so it's been a pleasure seeing teams like Vegas and Phoenix and Seattle and New York kind of set the tone for what the league should be. Like, this is just the bare minimum of what athletes should get. And so I think the New York Liberty is just one of those teams who, one, they already give the Liberty kind of the best of the best. They get the same as the Brooklyn Nets now. Yes. They have a practice facility that they use in Brooklyn at HSS. They also have the practice facility in the arena at Barclays, but just taking it up a notch and owning their own identity within the Brooklyn community. And so I love that they had the players output on, like, what do you need to perform and be your best? And it's much deserved. They just brought the first basketball championship in 50 years to the city. This is a squad who's brought this franchise, their first title in franchise history as well. So you want to lay the red carpet out. You know that 2026 is going to be a heck of a year for free agents. And so you want to put it in now and say, look, we're investing. We're putting the millions and millions of dollars in. Also this week, the New York Liberty announced a beauty partnership with Fenty Skin and Fenty Beauty. And so they're really listening to their players and seeing what they want and really putting their needs first. And so I think that we're going to start to see a lot of teams, not just the Liberty, do that in and around the league as well. And I'm excited because the players deserve it.
I'm excited too. And like you said, it's the bare minimum, but it is the start of something great. And I'm happy that we're trending in that direction. And other owners are starting to look and say, okay, well, you invested all this money and you won a championship. So maybe we should start doing the same thing. And I hope, yeah, let's start doing that. All the players deserve it. So thank you so much, Christina Williams, for joining us, giving us your insight. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jordan. Always fun to chat with you.
Thank you again, Christina Williams, for all your expertise and giving us the tea on the New York Liberty. We appreciate you. All right. It's time for a new segment that I think we're going to call the Robinson Rant, which I love. I think that's really fun because it's something in the world of women's sports that just grinds my gears a little bit. You know, I feel like we all have that one thing that after watching a week long of games and on social media and all of these things that it's just like, this is the thing. And I want to rant about it to you. So this week, the thing that is really grinding my gears is knees. Yes, you heard that right. ACLs specifically, and even more specifically, ACL tears in women athletes. It just feels like, especially recently, that it has been so common for our favorite players or superstars of our favorite leagues to go down with these devastating and heartbreaking injuries. And to me, I'm like, yeah, I have a beef with ACLs. Like, do you want to fight? Because I kind of do. Why are you there? What is your purpose? We never hear anything good about an ACL. It is only bad. And I specifically wanted to dig deeper into why does it feel like it is happening such a disproportionate rate for female athletes. And it actually is 2 to 8 times more likely female athletes are than men athletes to tear their ACLs. And I want to go back specifically to me watching the NCAA tournament, the women's Sweet 16. And I'm watching USC play. I'm working. I'm about to go on camera. We're watching the game before we go on camera to talk about it. And not only am I rooting for USC because I have them going far in my personal bracket, but also because I want Juju Watkins to do great. We all do. And only a couple minutes into the game, breakaway layup, she goes down. And she immediately grabs her knee. And you can just feel the whole vibe shift in the room, in the office, and everyone's on the verge of tears. I yell out, Juju, take my knee. I don't need it. Take it. Take my ACL and you can have it. because I was so anticipating her to go far in this tournament. And then you also just start thinking about the recovery, right? Like, we are going to be robbed of a year of basketball potentially from Juju Watkins. And that also made me think about a legend like Cheryl Miller, one of the best women's basketball players to ever play the game. And she was at her height in the 1980s. And after she finished her time at USC, she was scrimmaging, getting ready for the Olympics, and she goes down. She tears her ACL. Now, back then, it was a death sentence. It was over. Her career was over. She remembers, when she tells the story, she remembers the doctor coming to her and saying, after seeing the MRI, that it was officially an ACL tear, he said, well, I guess it's time to start having children. That was what it meant. Like, you are not playing again. And we were robbed of watching Cheryl Miller in the WNBA playing in the Olympics, other Olympics, rather than the one she did, because of this type of injury. Now, yes, technology has come a long way since a Cheryl Miller. And we know that Juju Watkins, hopefully it does take a year and she's able to come back and be stronger. But that recovery is intense. Again, it is more common, not only in women, but in basketball and soccer specifically, up to eight times more likely for women. Research says women typically are more quad dominant and have different quad to hamstring ratios than men. And that's why this could be more happening more. In an article by John Hopkins Medicine, a woman's ligaments have more looseness and less range of motion than men. So that could be a factor. First of all, what the heck? We didn't sign up for this. That is not fair. I remember when I was playing and I was in high school, and I remember my high school coach spent like an extra 15 minutes just having us warm up our ACLs, stretch our ACLs. And I remember even as a teenager being like, the boys don't have to do that. Why do we have to do that specifically? It still feels like this death sentence. And again, basketball and soccer. I know all the soccer fans have also been feeling this, because lately, Arsenal's Beth Mead, Manchester City's Vivian Medema, and Chelsea's Sam Kerr, all out. Big names, all out with ACL injuries. Sam Kerr, she's been out for 15 months with her ACL injury. The good news, or the bright spot, I guess. Just last week, FIFA announced that they will fund a year-long study to dive more into this. But one specific part of why it feels like it is so prominent in women, they're going to look and see if there is a link between ACL tears and women athletes' menstrual cycles. Researchers will monitor estrogen and progesterone levels while cross-referencing physical performance, according to ESPN. This is huge for a couple reasons. One, because the PhD student, Blake Rivers, who is leading the study, said that this type of hormone testing has never been done before, especially with this amount of money behind it. So it feels like this is a women-first study. We don't get that a lot. This is really big news, where it is something very specific that money and funding and research can go towards. They are going to bring women soccer players from Europe to do testing and really get this right. The second reason why this is huge, because once we have this research behind it, it can allow coaches to modify training or create individual programs based on menstrual cycle phases. So it's not just leaving it up to chance, essentially. So all of those things are really, really big. But the other side of this, and a lot of the response to this study, has been that is something that women athletes can't control. It's not fun, but I hope that we can come to a conclusion where we can learn more and stop this from happening. Let's talk TV Guide, what women's sports you should tune into this week. The Pro Volleyball Federation Championship is on Sunday, May 11th in Las Vegas. Tune in to see which team wins the title and $1 million. Hopefully they can let me hold a few dollars. And the WNBA regular season tips off the weekend of May 16th with three matchups, including Aliyah Edwards, Washington Mystics. Make sure to tune in all weekend long to see the biggest stars of the WNBA kick off the season. Thanks so much for tuning in to She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson. We'll see you next time.